Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Lily Allen Duenas. Together, we'll talk about the world of yoga and we'll talk to people from around the world. Before diving into the episode, I wanted to invite you to head on over to my Patreon account. I would love your support and I'm thrilled to have this beautiful community space where we can do yoga together, meditate together, and you'll get access to exclusive content. Get ready for some private Zoom Q&As, free printable art, meditation recordings, and more. Follow the link in the show notes to get started or head on over to any of my social media channels or my website, wildyogatribe.com, to hang out, get to know each other better, and find out more about all the support and resources available to you. Ready to dive in? Let's get started. Namaste, family, and welcome back to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Today, I am so excited to welcome Hamilton De Souza onto the podcast today. He is a yoga teacher and yoga studio owner in Angola, and his yoga studio is actually called The Studio, and it's in Luanda, the capital city of Angola. So he's been practicing yoga for over 20 years, and as he says, he fell in love with yoga during the first sun salutation, and he never looked back. He spent time in India studying Ashtanga yoga in Mysore and Goa, and he teaches Ashtanga, Hatha, power, and restorative, and is also an avid Vipassana meditator. So thank you so much, Hamilton, for being on the show with me today. I'm really excited to speak with you.
Thank you, Lily. Thank you. My pleasure.
So I was curious, I would love to hear more about you, Hamilton. Tell us a little bit about your story and maybe more details about how yoga first came into your life.
Okay, so I began doing yoga like 20 years ago, as you said. I started with the books. So I used to have a lot of back pain. And I was very young. I was like 28, something like that. I was really young. And I started reading the book, and the book was saying that if you do this pose, it's good for back pain. And I tried the pose. When I finished, I felt like release was less back pain. And I said, that's good. Next day, I tried again, and then back pain went away. So I decided to look for the yoga studio. At the time, I was living in London. I looked for the yoga studio, and I found the Ashtanga Yoga London School. And then I never looked back. So I went there. I did I enrolled at the studio. I studied with my teacher. And then I never looked back. Since then, I kept doing yoga, practicing yoga every day, basically. Become part of my life.
Yes, yoga does do that. It just becomes a part of your life, your day-to-day life. It's really a strange morning for me when I don't practice yoga. And so I feel a little different throughout the whole day. And I know you have been practicing Ashtanga yoga. So what has that journey been like for you practicing Ashtanga for 20 years?
Yeah, first of all, I really like the discipline. So Ashtanga requires a lot of discipline and devotion. And that's what I like the most. So you have to be on the mat every day. You have to practice every day. I fall in love with the discipline. And through the journey for 20 years, of course, I have to adapt a little bit. I'm not that young anymore. And Ashtanga is a very vigorous, very intense practice. So I adjust myself because I intend to keep practicing. I've never been too hard on myself as well. I've never been too crazy about sometimes. I take it easy. Sometimes I do the full primary, sometimes I do half primary. It goes as I feel. So I'm not too hard on myself anymore. The last 7-8 years, I start slowing down a little bit. I really want to keep practicing so I don't push too hard, so I don't break it. And I just go with the flow every day.
That's smart not to push until you break, because I know that. Yeah, so many yoga teachers can get, or yoga students or teachers or anyone who's interested in practicing, they can get very intense with, oh, I really want to do a handstand or get my feet behind my head or peacock or scorpion. Like they just get obsessed with a pose or two.
But I learned my lesson. I had injury before. That wasn't not that I was born wise. I had my lesson. I had my knee. And when I began doing the yoga, so I was doing this Marishasana, the very advanced pose for me at the time. And I didn't want to wait, so I had my knee. And then since then, I start to, you know, be a little bit more conscious about and not forcing and not pushing too much, listen to the body instead of listening to my ego or my head or my whatever. So I learned very quick. It teach me very quick.
It is a humbling practice. Yes.
The body is an amazing teacher. It is. If you have the wisdom to listen, yes, it is. It is.
And so also I know, Hamilton, you have a background in fitness as a personal trainer. And so how do you think that your background in personal training and in fitness and teaching classes, how did that get you started into yoga, or how did it change how you teach yoga? What about that do you think infuses your practice or your teaching style?
Yeah. So my job in London at the time, when I started doing yoga, well, I had a back pain, even being a personal trainer, being very active. And I used to swim, cycling, and everything still. I used to have a lot of back pain. But pain to be in bed. And I was very young. As I said, I was 28. I was very young. And I could not understand why I have so much back pain. So then I began to do yoga, and I still doing my personal training and teach group classes. I was very familiar with teaching because I used to teach aerobics, body balance, body pump, you name it, cross, secret training, studio. So teaching for me was normal already, not yoga, group classes. Then I, after 6 years of practicing yoga and 2 long trips to India, my second trip that I done to India when I came back, I decided to take a course and start doing teaching yoga in the studios and gyms that I used to work in London. That actually was better for me, so I was more calm. And I was more going to the vibe of yoga, so be more calm, more cool, more stretches, breathing, meditation. So, yeah. And then I moved to yoga. I still teach for classes like body pump. I still teach. And I still doing personal training. And I also use a lot of this Ayurvedic and holistic approach of yoga to my personal trainings as well, which works very well in terms of stretching. Sometimes I use meditation. It depends who comes to me, and I see what the person needs. Like people will come to me with depression, anxiety, and they want to lose weight. And I say, okay, maybe you should do yoga for the next 3 months and see how you're going. And I gain so much knowledge through the years. So when people come to me, it's like a medicine. I say, okay, maybe you need that. And I try that. We try that for 6 weeks, 2 months, and then I change again. So it goes, I don't give every, there's no one thing fits all. So it depends who comes to me and depends what they need. We have a conversation and we decide what to do. But yes, I use the personal trainer, I use the yoga, and I mix the two, and they work very well. Yeah. At least for me, for my experience, it works really well.
Yeah, I know a lot of yoga teachers out there have imposter syndrome. So just feeling, oh, how would I ever stand in front of people and tell them what to do? And I think coming from your background, it was more natural probably for you to get in front of people and guide them.
Yeah. I also did a lot of holistic courses and Ayurvedic courses. I have 20 years and a lot more, because even before I was already studying anatomy, physiology. So I have a lot of knowledge, and I keep studying, and I keep improving, and I keep, this road, you never finish. You can't finish. You are still a student. I'm still learning.
Yeah, it's an endless practice, and we'll be a student of yoga for life.
For life, yeah, we are yoga students. Even Patabi Joshi used to say, I'm also a student. I still learn with you guys. I'm also a student. He used to say that. And he was like 90, so very old.
Did you study with Patabi Joshi in my
summer? Yes, I did.
What was that experience like?
It was like a room full of 30, 20 people, 30 or 60, 60 people. So he hardly touched you. He used to do guide classes, and sometimes he come in, usually be adjustments. But my soul practice, you practice by yourself, basically. You go there. I was practicing by myself because 60 people, 80 people in a room, just him and Sharad, two of them. So, but still, the energy is different. Somehow, you progress so much. Your body opens. You can do poses that you couldn't do it at home. I don't know. The energy is different in my soul. This is amazing. Even it doesn't touch you, they don't do much, but you still, your body opens so much. The practice is different. You feel light. You feel like it feels different. I don't know. It's amazing. I'm willing to go back to my soul soon. Maybe next year, I'll go back to my soul.
Yeah, I hope so for you. And I've studied yoga in Rishikesh, and I've spent time in Dharamsala and in Kerala and Amritsar. Okay. So I've never been to Mysore. And I do, when I was in Rishikesh, I was doing Ashtanga yoga every day at yoga shalas. But I don't know if that's where my energy is taking me. As you said, I'm getting older. Things aren't as easy. And I feel like I'm gravitating more and more towards hatha instead of even vinyasa practices.
So, yeah.
Yeah, energy shifts as time shifts.
Yeah, it does. It does. I have days that I go to the mat and I just do like few poses, hatha yoga. Sometimes I just do few poses, basic poses. What is more important for me is to be in a mat every day. That's what's more important. It's not to do the full primary or the half intermediate. It's to be in a mat. Sometimes I just go do hatha yoga, sometimes just meditation. As long as I have a time for myself, that's what is yoga for me about. It's not really the full primary, you know. That doesn't make me a better person. I don't think it does.
I like that. The full primary doesn't make you a better person.
No, it does not.
Oh, I like that. Because I think it's such a beautiful reminder that not one yoga pose, if you get to it, it won't make you a better person. It won't make you more calm or peaceful.
That's for sure.
It's about making time for yourself, as you said, time for self-reflection.
For reflections, time to be there, to feel, to connect. That's what's more important for me. If I can have a 5-10 minutes a day, fine. If I can have 2 hours, I do full primary. I do, it goes as it goes.
It goes as it goes. And so when you opened your yoga studio in Luanda, Angola, when you opened that, what was your community's response to that studio opening? Or was there a lot of yoga studios already open in the city?
But yeah, when I moved back to Angola, there was no yoga studios in Angola. No, there was not even a yoga teachers here. I would say there was a teacher here the time I moved back to Angola, but she was sick and unfortunately she passed away. And then it was me teaching, and it was not many people knew about yoga. And I moved back here to open a yoga studio, and it wasn't easy. I used to have 1 student, 2 students. Very slowly, they start coming up one by one, telling their friends, family. And then I start building my clients. And then I established myself here. I was very lucky. There was an American lady. She moved to Angola, and she was looking for a yoga studio or yoga teacher, and she found me. And she's the one who brought me a lot of students, a lot of foreigners. So the first 5 years, 80% of my students, they were foreigners. They was like people who worked in Angola, like people from America, Canada, London, whatever, all foreigners. Because the Angolans, they wasn't really very much into yoga, the Angolan people. And then after the COVID, then it changed a little bit. Now I have more Angolan students. I have more, like it's balanced. I have 50-50. Now I have 1, 2, 3, 4 yoga studios. I was the pioneer. I would say I was the pioneer here. Now we have 4 yoga studios and I like it. I feel my students now, they teach. The students that I used to taught then, they teach us now. They did courses now and then they are teachers now. So I feel happy. I'm very happy.
Oh, I'm happy it's growing. Why do you think it's getting more popular?
People going mad. People need something. People are going mad. People are going crazy. People are a lot of stress and they just work. They start questions. What's the purpose of my life? What I'm doing here? A lot of people come to me. They all have a kind of this crisis, like existential crisis. I talk to them and they say, yeah, I'm not gonna. I don't really know what to do with my life. I have a job, but I'm not happy. They start doing yoga. Some of them, they stay. They like it. They find a purpose. Yoga somehow answers some questions, deep questions, existential ones. I think that's why it's become very popular, yoga. Humanity needs that. We're going crazy.
Are we going crazy because of the technology or the environment?
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. Relationships, friends, family, jobs, everything. I think it's too much. Everything going so fast. And I think, as they say, the energy in the planet is shifting. People are becoming more aware and more people are waking and they see, okay, what's the purpose of my life? Just to work, pay bills. What else can I find? They're looking for spirituality. They're looking for answers, deep answers. And yoga have all these answers. is one of them, but you can find someone else as well by yoga. Yoga was made, I think, for that time as well.
That's a very powerful thing to think about. What's going on energetically with the whole world and how is yoga important?
Yeah, it's popular. I don't know. I don't want to get wrong, but I think, 30 million people. I don't know how many people do yoga every day. I can't remember. I was Googling the other day. But there's a lot of people in the world doing yoga every day. Lots. Thousands of people doing yoga every day. So in Angola could not be, forgotten. So Angola also people are, we are humans. It doesn't matter if you're Angolan, if you're black, if you're white. You all have questions. You all have the same feelings. And I think people need yoga.
Yeah. And my mom, if I'm honest with you, Hamilton, my mother said, oh, really? You want to really become a yoga teacher and make a business out of that? Really? Don't you think it's just going to not be popular soon? It's so popular now. Won't it stop becoming popular soon? It's just a trend. That type of dialogue we had.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, I feel very certain in my heart that yoga is not a trend and it's not something that next year is going to disappear or go away. I think
no,
people are calling for it. They're needing it.
More
and they're finding
more
medicine in it.
Yeah, it's medicine. It is. If you do the right yoga, if you do the right yoga for you, because, not every yoga is, I don't think every yoga is for everybody. It's yoga for everyone. You need to give the right amount, the right type of yoga, I think, for the right person. It's not, at least for me, I look to people and I say, okay, maybe you need something more cool, something more relaxing, and it's more restorative because it's full of stress. So I'm not going to give him Ashtanga yoga because it's just going to burn him out even more. I play a little bit with the sequences and with the poses and to give the right amount to the right person at the right time. Otherwise, it won't help as well. So you got to be careful with what we give to people. But yes, it is medicine. It is definitely medicine.
You're right. And we do have to be mindful of what we're recommending. And as you said, somebody maybe needs a slower, gentler practice. But I also like to think that the people who are very energetic and really have a ton of energy and are always doing things, they're probably the ones that need the slower practice.
And they want to do this Ashtanga power yoga, because they want to lose weight or because they want to feel tired. They want to go home and sleep. But I said, no, you need the opposite. You burned out already. You need to you need to chill. You need to sit down, breathe, do a few poses, do restorative. And some people, they come in, they fall asleep.
Yep.
I have clients, they pay me to sleep. They say, Hamilton, I just come here to rest. I come here to sleep. I give them a few poses. I let them there for 3 minutes, 5 minutes of each pose. They go, oh, Hamilton, I wish I could take to my house because that's the only place I can really disconnect and sleep and have a rest.
And Hamilton, a question I do like to ask every guest that I have on the show is, what is your definition of yoga?
Yoga is a science that helps human being to evolve. Yoga is a method that helps human being to develop, to evolve, to be a better being, to self-discover, I would say, is a self-journey, the self-inquiry practice. You study about yourself, and then you will find who you really are. The word yoga means union, but yes, is union between my individual conscience to the universal conscience. I think yoga takes you that. As an individual, I become aware of the single and unified conscience, where I come from, where everybody comes from. I think is the path to take you that. It's one of it. There is more, but yoga is one of them. Helps the human beings to develop, to evolve, to grow, to connect with a God or whatever you want to call. I think that's for me, yoga.
Beautiful. I love that when people remind us, like you just did, Hamilton, that yoga is the union of the individual consciousness to the cosmic or the ultimate consciousness. Because often in, at least in the US and in the West, people interpret yoga as a union of mind, body, and spirit. And that is just like the surface level, right? That's definitely a step we take. But it's that forgetting that it's the small into the large, the individual into the cosmic.
Yeah. It is when you do the asanas, you become aware of your body, like you become self-aware of your body. Like in time and space, become aware of your body on time and space, how you do the movement. But then as you go deeper, you can start becoming aware of your own thoughts, of your own consciousness, and then you start going deeper, and then you become aware of the self, the real self, and then you become aware there is more than that. You can be even bigger when the self-awareness become aware of the cosmic, and then you want to connect with that. And that's the goal of yoga. You become one with all. Because we only one. We just separated, but we only one.
Yeah.
There's only one thing that exists. But this, so I'm going too deep now, but I already have that experience. So I don't want to go to this experience of oneness. I already have that. And yes, we are only one thing.
Wow. And was that a realization you had during a Vipassana?
No, actually, no. That was the time that I was going to a crisis. I was like, my mom was passing. And I couldn't really understand why. She was so young. She was like 52. She was my age now. I'm 52 now. And she was passing away with cancer. That was when I started doing yoga, Ashtanga yoga. And once I finished the practice and I lie down and I say, so just tell me what happened. Why my mom? Why she has to die so young? And I closed my eyes and I just went to the meditation. And then I had this feeling that I left the body. I left the body. And I went to the clouds, to the sky, deep, like the speed of light. And I went into the sun, I would say. I went inside the sun. That's the experience that I have. And the sun sent me back to the earth. And I was everything. Because the sun touches everything. So I was everything. I was the gazelle. I was the grass. I was the river. I was the trees. I was the fruit. I was the man who eats the fruit. I was the lion. I was everything. I was everywhere. And I've never been afraid to die since then, because I said, I am everything. I'm Jesse inside Hamilton, but I'm also the lion, I'm also the grass, I'm also the tree, I'm also the water, I'm also the clouds. I felt that was the experience of the oneness. It was very quick, it was like 2 seconds or maybe 1 millisecond. I don't know how long it was. But then I never been afraid to die. I'm afraid how I'm going to die, but I've never been afraid to die since that day. That was my experience of oneness.
Yeah, that's profound. And to have those experiences are so rare and unique and personal.
Yeah, it wasn't a blink of eye. It was so quick, so fast, the experience to go into the sun and come back and touch everywhere. It was in everywhere, everything.
And so... Yeah. Hamilton, I'd love to hear too about some of your experiences in Vipassana. If some of our listeners maybe aren't familiar with Vipassana, it's something I've done myself too. I've done the SN Goenka and the Mahasi in Bali and India and Sri Lanka. So I've done multiple Vipassanas, just wow. Like you have, Hamilton. But I'd love to hear in your words, what is a Vipassana like and what kind of transformation or what did you learn from it? What was the purpose of doing a Vipassana for you?
Okay, the first one in Bangalore, I was there studying with Patabi Choice, but he went away because he does his tours to Europe. So he went away, and I had 3 more weeks in Mysore doing nothing. And a friend of mine told me, Hamilton, why don't you go and do Vipassana? I mean, you stay there for 10 days, they give you food, so you just meditate. Just go and try something. I said, okay, why not? I'll go. And I went, so let me see what it's all about. 10 days, I go. Was the best thing I done in my life, honestly. I thought like they gave me a diamond. But I finished the course, Goenka, the discourse he was giving every day. I said, this guy is giving me something so precious. When I finished the course, I said, they gave me a diamond. I have to look after this diamond for the rest of my life. And I felt so good. The first time in my life, the last, in the 9 and the 10 day, I had no pain. For the first time in my life, like for 20 years or many years, I was suffering with the pain. I had no pain. I was only feeling very subtle vibrations, very clean vibration. And I said, wow, this is amazing. And I kept practicing. Till today, I practice. Even sometimes I only 5 minutes, but Vipassana was the best thing I've done in my life. I don't really understand what happened. I just follow what Goenka said, and it works very well for me. Last one I done was last year. I went to Toronto, And I took 10 days. I'm going to Toronto again. I'll do it again. But I want to do 20 days or maybe two courses. I'm going to serve and I'm going to sit. I love it. I love it.
That's beautiful. How I usually think of my Vipassanas is like a crucible or a pressure cooker. Like by spending 10 straight days with no eye contact, no speaking, no stimulation. So for our listeners, that just to know, there's no books, no pens, pencils, paper, there's nothing to read or do. It's just meditating, you know, that's really it. So it's about 100 hours of meditation, seated, sitting meditation in 10 days. So 100 hours in 10 days. And that time, wow. A rice cooker, a rice pressure cooker. So much goes on in your head, in your body, in your energy. And it's different for everyone, but I think it's almost guaranteed to have some type of transformational effect.
I agree with you. Yes. Every time I finish Vipassana, I feel like, wow, I feel like I had a diamond and I have to take care of it. And I go home and I practice. I actually like to sit down and be quiet. I really like it. Shut my eyes and just close my eyes and just breathe, stay there quiet, observing.
Yeah. I love how you're saying, Hamilton, that it's like you get a diamond and you have to take care of it.
Yeah, you have to take care of it.
Beautiful, beautiful image for me.
Every day you have to polish a little bit. It's like you have to go there every day and polish a little bit so it keeps shining. Otherwise, you get dust and, you know, you have to clean it every day. You have to take care of it every day.
And by clean it and take care of it, you mean meditate and yoga and time on the mat. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean that, yeah. Do like you sit in meditation like Vipassana, observing sensations and stay there. Actually, I think every human being is a diamond. We all diamonds, which is a lot of stuff at the top of us, but everybody has a light and everybody should be shining. It's just a matter of you really realize that you're a diamond and you start doing your work. Because the light is with everyone. Everyone have a light.
Yes, everybody is a light, 100%. And in Buddhism, they often say that we're looking at ourselves in the mirror, but the mirror is so dirty. And so our practice is just to gently, slowly clean the mirror. It's not like you have Windex and a paper towel and you just can clean it. It is years of generational traumas, narratives, stories that you just one by one remove. So from the mirror, that's a metaphor I'm very familiar with, but yours with the diamond is just so beautiful, Hamilton. I love that.
Yeah, thank you.
And I also want to ask for our listeners, as well as myself, there are people who are tuning in who don't know too much about Angola as a country, as a place. Can you share with us more about Angola?
Yeah, Angola is a very interesting country. It's like India. It's almost like India is. There's a lot of pollution, very dirty, a lot of mess, a lot of poverty. But we also have good things. We have nice beaches, nice people. People are friendly, like India. Very easygoing people, very friendly. Angola is almost like India. You hate it or you love it. Angola anymore is a big city now. We like 28 million people living in a city in Luanda. Yeah, it's a busy city, crazy. Like every other city. I've been here for 12 years. I was born here and I moved to London and then I moved back here. So it's my hometown.
What age did you move to London?
I moved to London. I was 18 when I moved to London. I moved to Lisbon first. Then I moved to London. And then 12 years ago, I moved back to Angola.
Wow. You've done a lot of traveling. That's wonderful. And I love Lisbon too.
I love traveling. I love traveling. One of the reasons I became a yoga teacher was to travel.
We are similar traveling. In that.
I love traveling. I haven't done too much traveling doing yoga, but I love traveling.
I do as well. And that's a huge reason I became a yoga teacher too. I spent 5 years living outside of the US. The first three were like with a backpack and just going,
traveling,
you know, teaching
to India,
and traveling,
yeah,
teaching yoga, and then doing more trainings because, you know, I just couldn't stop learning. And I did my first certification in Nepal and Kathmandu. And I immediately knew, okay, I have to come back. I have to go to the root of yoga, the sources of yoga, these authentic and ancient teachings and lineages. Like, I have to learn. So I loved it. I'm with you. I think we definitely are on the same wavelength, Hamilton.
Yoga is like the big ocean. You just can't really know everything in one lifetime. It's so deep. It's, I don't know. It requires a lot of study and practice. You also experience. You have to practice and feel.
Go ahead. And so, Hamilton, for our listeners who...
How long have you been practicing? Just a question for you, very quick. How long have you been
practicing? So I've been practicing for over half of my life. I came to yoga when I was 16. So wow. I've been practicing, for...
Very young. Okay.
Yeah, young. But I didn't practice really regularly until I was 18. That was when I was able to go to classes, we'll say 3 times a week. And then I progressed to 5 times a week when I was about... when I was 19 or 20, but just as is natural with something that's been with you this long, the longest relationship I've ever had is with yoga. It's ebbed and flowed. And so now that I committed to becoming a yoga teacher 6-7 years ago, now my practice is daily and it really has an ebbed and flow. But as you mentioned earlier, how we're practicing and how, what kind of asana, and that's ebbed and flowed too. Whether I'm spending an hour on my mat doing a vinyasa practice every single morning for a whole year. And then the next year I need yin yoga for 3 straight months. You never know. I think just responding to that, listening to your body is the most advanced thing you can do on your
mat. I think it is. And it's very wise. If you're able to listen to your body, you are wise. You have to feel, you have to really listen to your body and what suits you at that moment. But you need to be wise to be able to do that. If you're not, you're just going to hurt yourself. You're just going to burn yourself out. Imagine I have to teach classes, so many classes. If I don't slow down in my practice, sometimes I'm not going to be able to, but still, I also don't want to teach too many classes that I burn out. So I need to have the balance. I need to balance. I need to find a balance. Maybe I don't teach too many classes, but also I don't do all this practice. I have to play around. To be wise to do that.
Play is a great word. Play and keep things light and joyful.
Joyful. That's the word. You have to enjoy. You don't want to be there like, oh, I have to do yoga again. Let it go again.
So Hamilton, too, I know some of our listeners might have a question for you, or maybe they wanted to ask something that was related to something you said on the podcast. So I'm going to link to your Instagram and your Facebook in the show notes. Anywhere people are listening to the podcast, you can just scroll down, click a link, and be connected to Hamilton. Or you can head on over to my website, wildyogatribe.com/yoga in Angola, and you'll get a transcript of this episode, show notes, and links, and everything you could need. But Hamilton, would you like to say here on the audio itself, just what is the name of your Instagram and Facebook?
My Instagram name is Hamilton de Souza, Instagram as well, Studio Angola. And I have book one, is also the studio one. Studio_YogaLuanda.
Perfect. Okay. So Hamilton, it has been such a joy to be with you today. I have loved this conversation. It's been so organic and natural. And I've loved your words and your metaphors, yoga as an ocean, yoga, Vipassana as a diamond. I think you've been just so great to be with you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Lee. Thank you. You're really good. Very good. I'm very happy you invited me for this wonderful talk today.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. My conversation with Hamilton de Souza, a yoga teacher from Angola, was so enthralling as we wove so many elements of the spiritual understanding of yoga, of Vipassana, and of the world together. I hope that this conversation made you see what is possible in the realm of yoga and what is important on the path of yoga. If you're looking to tune into a podcast episode that's all about yoga in Angola, then this is the conversation for you. Thank you for listening to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Be well. Thank you for the gift of your attention today. If you feel called, please share this episode with someone who you think could benefit from it. Leaving a review would also be so appreciated. I also hope you can join me online on my website, wildyogatribe.com, or on social media. I would love to get to know you better. I would love to share with you and to hear your thoughts. Send me a DM, send me a note, get in touch. It would be great to hear from you. And as always, be well, dear one. Be well.